opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And welcome into the Rusty Satellite Show. This is your host, Rick Redding. Every week, I talk with some of the most interesting people in the Ville. And this is show number 115. That means we have nearly 230 locals or people who have been interesting enough to get on the Rusty Satellite Show. It's becoming quite an amazing number. I had a great conversation this week with some folks. In fact, a former guest on the show, Linda Rufinack, and her partner in business, Dana Newman. And we talked about some really good ideas about growing this little business of mine, and I'm very excited about it. And their business down there at Execuity takes care of does a lot of branding and strategizing for a lot of different companies. So just want to give them a quick plug before we get into the show. I've got some unusual things on the show. I want you to stay tuned for the second part of the show. I love the arts, as you know, and I got a chance to sit down with Hannah Wimmett, who is with Stage One Theater, and Stage One is just, well, you probably don't know a lot about it, but if you're a parent, you should certainly know about Stage One, and take your kids down there to see it. Interesting talk with about some things going on, a big event next week involving Stage One down at Gordon Biersch, which is another place I'd never been into, and love that place, and looking forward to that event next week. So we'll see if we get a chance to go to that. As you know, the Rusty Satellite Show is sponsored by Snelling Staffing. Snelling's a place where if you're looking for a job, you can talk to them and they'll do their very best to find you a place to work. And also, as an employer, if you're looking for good people to work who'll show up on time and do the work as assigned, Snelling Staffing is the place to go to find those people. So here is this week's job of the week from Snelling Medical. There's an immediate opening for a licensed in-home physical therapist in Jefferson County. It's on weekends, day shift. There is mileage reimbursement. There is great pay. You hear that? Great pay. That's one of the best things about jobs. You must have reliable transportation. And if you're looking for an opportunity or know of someone else who is, please contact Stephanie at Snelling Medical. The phone number there is 502-814-9800. That's 814-9800. You can talk to Stephanie, or you might get the lovely Paula on the phone. I'm going to tell you about some of the things Paula and I have been doing over the last week or so. It's a very exciting time of year, time of my life, time of great things going on in Louisville, Kentucky. So we're going to talk about that. But first up, I've got this very special interview. This is with you'll hear three people on this one, and they are two of them have been on the Rusty Satellite Show before. My good friend Mike Maloney. A lot of people in town know about Mike and all his activities, and they know about the Taj at 807 Market Street. It's you're going to hear a lot about it in this interview. Mike and I go way back to a company called Iron Max, where we both worked. And for a brief time, I lived in a place we affectionately called Rancho Maloney out on the Bullock County line a long time ago. So anyway, I go way back with Mike. And if you know Denny Humphrey, you know the Monkey Wrench. Denny was on the show sometime back talking about the Monkey Wrench and what's going on. And I just got to meet a guy named Todd Moore, who is involved in both Taj and a great event coming up in October, an event that had a 25-year tradition, was set to die because it was held at the Phoenix Hill Tavern. It's called the Great Chili Cook-Off. And, of course, in the last year, the Phoenix Hill has gone out of business. And Todd, along with Denny and Mike, have organized... Those are the dogs. All right. They have organized the Great Chili Cook-Off, and it's going to be at the Belvedere downtown. So there's going to be a lot of information about that coming up. It's getting organized, getting going. So if you don't mind, stay tuned. After this message, we'll get into a very funny and interesting interview with Mike Maloney, Denny Humphrey, and Todd Moore.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was gonna do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
And what an interesting place I find myself in, as usual, with Mike Maloney. Mike, tell us about the Taj.
Well, Rick, we're glad you could come back and see it in its next phase. Work is really progressing fast. The Taj, we're looking to turn it into a good gathering space in Nulu, sort of a dive bar style, Nulu style, working with some great partners with Denny Humphrey from the Monkey Wrench and Todd Moore and Ken Blackthorne to make it happen. Rapidly approaching an opening date that we'll be able to announce and share with the media.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to that. I remember back in the 90s, it was going to open like next spring. Yeah, right?
So it still is. I can still tell you next spring. Yeah, right?
But it says established 2015 on the front, so you got to get it open before the end of the year, right?
Well, Todd's done a great thing by making that sign, and I'm sure he doesn't want to make a new sign, so we're going to keep it 2015.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to it. We got the Nulu Fest coming up next weekend down here, and I'm sure a lot of people will be coming down trying to get in and knocking on the door, but it's really, I mean, in all seriousness, just had the, I saw new floors just poured. It's still several weeks away, I guess.
Easily, and Todd could speak more to the exact schedule, but absolutely, it's, you know, that 2015 opening, not an established date yet, but it's getting closer.
Okay, and I want to move over to Denny, who has also been on the Rusty Satellite Show in the past with the Monkey Wrench. It's a great place down on Barrett. And Denny, what's your role here at Taj?
My role, other than hanging out here on several late night occasions throughout life, is being lucky enough to know Todd Moore and Kenny Blackthorne, and they just approached me about the idea of doing this, you know, year and a half ago, and asked if I'd be interested in giving them some help. So I'm basically here mostly for help. I wanted to show Todd exactly what we can do when it comes to selling some booze and doing it the right way. And I'm just really honored to have a hand in.
Well, you know, and this place does have a history going back to Mike. I've been coming down here for years on First Friday Trolley Hops, and this is the biggest party on market most of the time. So
yeah.
You're going to start charging those people to drink now, right?
That'd be the most unusual thing when folks actually have to pay for some booze at the Taj. But you're right.
I'm going to hate that, adjusting my schedule.
Well, we might be able to slip you in for a preview drink there before we get open. But and that's an important part, though. You mentioned the history, the gathering spot, and the energy that created. A lot of bands or band members would hang out here. They do photo shots. They write here. They play here. And that's a tradition we would like to continue. Okay. Plugged into the local music scene and artists and other folks that make up.
Okay.
We actually joked that you don't even, not so sure you even needed a sign to know where the Taj was.
That's right. But they have a pretty cool sign out front. And Todd, let me turn to you and ask you about this project. You know, are you really going to have to change the sign to 2016?
No.
Okay.
No. There will be some sort of festivity in here in 2015 to legitimize that sign. It will be official. So,
well, very cool. Well, Todd, what's your role in making all this happen?
Pretty much, we did all the design work, all the construction work, all the installation work.
The cash work.
The cash work.
Very important component.
Every time I talk to Mike, my wallet literally jumps out of my pocket and takes off running across the field. So, but the one thing we had to do was, you know, the building was more set up for residential purposes. And when Mike got a hold of the building had been neglected for many years. So there was some, you know, there was lots of stuff that needed to do to before we even started doing the stuff we needed to do. So it was, you know, there was floor reinforcement that had to be done. The brick, there was a brick remediation that had to be done. And literally, you know, some of that stuff takes weeks and weeks and weeks. And, but it's kind of been coming together. You know, we see something we like. Okay, we incorporate it in there. And all the ironwork, we physically designed all the bar stool setup. We've designed all the tables. There'll be a fold-down tables and all the ornamental ironwork outside. We designed and built all that in my shop. All the cornice work with the gargoyle that soon has to be removed. The gargoyle, we did all
now,
that stuff.
I never knew that, you know, it's the first time I've heard the words together, gargoyle controversy.
Yes.
That's apparently what we have here, right?
That is what we have. It's been considered not family friendly. But I guess the whole downtown Louisville would not be family friendly then, because there's gargoyles almost on every building downtown. Mine just looks a little scarier. That's it.
Well, maybe you just paint a smile on his face or something, and maybe that would work. And
that has a lot to do with your history of the scariness.
Yeah, I own Industrial Nightmare Haunted House over in Jeffersonville, so I've been doing haunted houses since 2002. So I have, you know, we build lots of props and stuff for the haunted house industry. Okay. So
it really was meant to be a personal touch.
It was just a personal touch.
It actually wasn't just pulled out of the air.
Yeah, it kind of bring that in there a little bit. And then Mike has some stories about Krampus, which is a demon.
Christmas demon.
So it was kind of associated with him without the horn. So we kind of mixed a little bit. It was a little bit of thought. And it was just a cool piece, you know. People walk by and look like, oh, man, look at that. There's pictures all over the Internet with it. People are doing selfies, you know, with it behind them. And so it's a pretty neat deal. But, you know, whatever. Overlay Committee says they don't like it, so I'll take it down. We'll hang it someplace else more obscene.
Yeah, you can put it inside, maybe. Yeah, put it in the men's room. So, all right, well, we want to talk about one other topic here today. I got all three of you guys here, and there's a big event. I'll let who wants to jump in and tell me about the chili cook-off event?
I'll speak for a few of us that actually is sitting down at the thought of the chili cook-off going away, which is kind of a sad thought in our minds. Because
so just to set the stage, though, for like 23 years, right, down at the Phoenix Hill Tavern.
This will be the 25th year.
Yeah.
Down at Phoenix Hill on a fall weekend, it's chili. Right?
Yes,
and it's a big festival. A lot of people come.
I mean,
was going to die with the closing of the Phoenix Hill, right?
Exactly,
right.
Exactly. And other than, you know, you know, you look at the St. Paddy's Day Parade, it's up there with the Phoenix Hill Chili Cook-Off. Just one of those great neighborhood festivities that goes on yearly in the heart of the Highlands and Phoenix Hill neighborhood.
Okay.
And the thought of that going away would just kind of scare everybody.
Okay, so tell me about what we got planned for what's the date? It's not very far off.
October 10th.
Yeah. October 10th.
Which is the day before the Ironman competition in Louisville. We are actually even going to try to cater to them a little bit. We're going to do a pasta bar for the Ironman.
Okay. I wouldn't think chili before doing an Ironman.
We'll do a pasta bar there. Okay. And if they want to take the pasta and throw it into the chili, they can have the old Kentucky chili, they call it, with the noodles. So, Value Market is going to help us out with the pasta bar there. Half the proceeds will go to Dare to Care. That's kind of to cater to the Ironman, you know, people. So they, like you said, they're not going to be eating chili, but they will be, you know, their pasta. So we're going to be doing that. We're going to have some live entertainment with.
Yeah, we reached out to, and this will be a public reach out too. We're trying to get the School of Rock. If you ever went to the Phoenix Hill Chili Cook-Off up in the atrium every year, it was just a bunch of the kid bands at School of Rock, which was kind of one of the funnest part of the day. So we don't have their confirmation, but I'm quite sure we can work a deal out with those kids to go ahead and be the entertainment value of the actual chili cook-off.
Okay, and I don't think we've mentioned yet. It's going to be on the Belvedere.
On the Belvedere.
Downtown. So more of a community event than a bar event, I guess.
Definitely family friendly.
Okay. Now, Mike, I want to save this for you. Is there going to be any beer there?
There will be beer. I'm glad you bring that up. And we're working with some providers. You know, it'll still have the atmosphere, beer and chili and great fall day, everything that goes together with that. But Ben Rogers, who had owned Phoenix Hill Tavern, and one of his important things in allowing this to continue and working with us was to make it more of a community and keep it that family-free festival type thing. But beer is definitely included, so I'm sure we'll see you there, Rick.
Yeah, that's right. It'll be a big deal. I
and
like
for years, too. River City and Miller Lite beer companies actually help finance that and will help back that, so we're working with them again this year, as well as Gordon Biersch.
Now, we were talking about how big it's been in the past, and you know, it's a new location. Everything's new, so you don't really know how big it's going to be this time. But give me an idea of I don't know, how many kegs or how many people have shown
there's
up.
There's been over 100 contestants in the past.
Okay.
With that over 100 contestants, I mean, I've actually made chili, and I've made 15 gallons of chili and gotten rid of every bit of it. So I think, what do you
think? There's never chili left, and I would say 100 contestants is an easy target to hit.
And what would you think the attendance would be on something like that? You think they'd get 5,000 down there?
Yeah, without a doubt.
So we're hoping to expand on that a little bit, and we're coming up from the rear here trying to catch up to the timing on it, but moving it to the Belvedere created its own set of situations we had to go through far with the Ironman competition, the roads being blocked off, and so we had to move the dates around a little bit. So we've got things ironed out right now. We're working with Caroline to, you know, help us through the PR stuff there, and
Now this is along. All these contestants, this is a competition actually, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
Need any judges?
You know,
I'm available.
All right. Well, that's a good consideration there. We will need judges.
Now, that's for chili, not beer.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The best thing about moving it to the Belvedere was its central location to Butchertown, Nulu, downtown Kentuckiana, the Highlands. It's still within a good reach of several awesome neighborhoods.
Sure.
And there's plenty of parking down there. You know, one of the things in Phoenix Hill, particularly the Highlands, is parking is always, you're lining up and down the streets. So there's plenty of parking down there. You know, on a Saturday like that during the day, the parking garages would be fairly open. I think that the location, you know, Belvedere is a great place. We just did World Fest there, and it was a great place to be. And
now, well, I'm curious, has anybody, like, this competition aspect, is there, like, somebody that comes back year after year and does really well, or is there a defending champion, so to speak?
We're reaching out for the defending champion from last year is what we're trying to do. There is, and we have not found that person yet. That's not in all
so
the...
If you're listening,
give us a call. Go to our webpage and find us.
Or if anybody was ever a part of it, just go to the webpage. Get back involved. This thing is just going to get bigger and stronger.
All right, well, let's go ahead and mention the webpage. It is...
www.thegreatchilicookoff.com.
Okay.
There's a Facebook page too that you can access.
The Facebook page is the Great Chili Cookoff, and you can access that and get that route there.
Your Facebook's the easiest, quickest way to get to it.
Yeah, and it can take you to the webpage, and that'll give you all the details for registration and all the other things you need
and
to know.
And where I sign up to be a judge on that page, too.
That's a special page. See us after the interview.
We charge.
Well, it's always fun. I've been down here a million times, I think, to the Taj, and actually looking forward to seeing it open up to the rest of the world, and that's going to be like next weekend, right?
Yes.
2015.
2 weeks. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
I think that's the big question up and down Market Street in Nulu is, so when's that Taj going to open? But it's a great name and a great place, and we look forward to the chili cook-off with you guys. Thanks for being on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thank you.
Thanks,
well, that was a big time going down there. We kid Mike about his place. He's had that place at 807 East Market in Nulu for a long, long time, and has since I've known him, been threatening to open a bar there. So it looks like it's actually happened. They poured a new floor today. I posted a picture on Facebook of the ceiling, which is it's very interesting. It's window shutters on the ceiling, and then the ceiling in another room, they're going to have a whiskey room back there. It's made up of random pieces of logos of whiskey brands. So that's going to be something you just have to see. I believe that they're really going to get that place open, a nice bar called the Taj on Market Street, by the end of the year. Of course, next week's a big week in Nulu. If you've ever been to the Nulu Festival, of all the festivals around town, it's one of the coolest and most fun because of all the cool people there, the cool businesses have come down there. It's really a lot of fun. It's next weekend, and September 26th. So put that on your calendar. You know, in this part of the show, I talk a lot on this show. Now we've got some 230 guests to talk about things that people who've been on the show are doing, or if I run into them and say hello and all that. So anyway, that's just part of what I do. I went down there to the Taj, talked to those guys, Denny and Mike and Todd. But while I was there, I went across the street. I went over to see Sandra Perry over at Honest Home. She's got that great business right across the street. And I had to buy some shower gifts for my son Josh's wed. Josh and Sarah, they're getting married on October 10th. And so I had to go by and get a shower gift for them and found something really cool there. I guess I can't tell you what it is, because, you know, they might be listening. Not really, but anyway. And then I also went over to Revelry to see Mo McKnight Howe, and she sold me some nice coasters. There are some really artistic coasters representing Louisville. It's really pretty cool. And so that was a lot of fun. There's some people. I want to tell you a little bit about I could fill the show up just telling you what I've done in the last week or so. It's been a really busy week. Last Friday, of course, I talked, you know, the theme song to this show, What the Hell Is Going On, is done by a great artist named Paul Thorne. He was playing the Baumhard Theater. And you're going to hear a little bit more about the Baumhard Theater in the next segment with about Stage 1, because that's where a lot of the Stage 1 productions are done, and how that theater is built is especially for that. But it's a perfect venue for a small concert, and Paul Thorne played there. We were on the front row. You can check out some pictures of me and Paul. Paul always goes out in the crowd at the end of the show. He plays this song called Take My Love With You at the conclusion of every show, and he walks out in the crowd and hugs people and gets pictures with them. And he, of course, Paula got in a nice shot with Paul, and it was all a big time. We saw a lot of our friends there, and it was very cool. And on Saturday, of course, University of Louisville football game. You know about that. We had a very disappointing loss to Houston, 34-31. And if you're listening to this today on Thursday, you know that I hope you're going out to the Clemson game. U of L really needs to pull off a surprise win here. It's you know, you don't want to be 0-3. And Bobby Petrino, I think all U of L fans were pretty disappointed in losing to Houston. That's the one we thought we could win. If we lose to Clemson, which is ranked number 11 in the country, the Cards are going to be 0-3, and it'd be tough to make a successful season after an 0-3 start, but, you know, stranger things have happened. That's all happened. You remember I had Tom Jurich, the athletic director at U of L, on the show last week, and he was in the news this week. Did you see that down at the University of Texas, where former U of L coach Charlie Strong is down there struggling a bit with his football team, but they fired their athletic director, a guy named Steve Patterson, and the first name to pop up on the list of people that Texas wants to hire is Tom Jurich. And you think that after you listen to what Jurich had to say last week on this show, that there's no way he'd leave. Well, not so fast. We thought the same thing about Charlie Strong. Texas is a powerful force, and their money is no object. So they like, I heard somebody on the radio say that they're like, they print money down there. So certainly if they're going to come after Jurich, that's going to be in the news around here for a while. And we're going to see that. Speaking of Jurich, I did want to mention, I hope you'll join me on September 22nd, next Tuesday. We're going to have the Breakfast of Champions at the University Club on campus. It's $20. Anybody can come. There's a Facebook page called Breakfast of Champions Louisville, and I would certainly encourage you to come out and hear Tom himself. There's a great group of people that network. It's early in the morning, but we've made it easier, putting it on Tuesday, and it's an event I organized with Dick Wilson and Katie Gaughan and Ken Grossman and Jeff Heaton, and it is it's an outstanding event. We've been doing it for several years now, and if you've heard about it, I'm sure you've heard about it if you follow me at all, but this is going to be a special one to go to. So please make plans on Tuesday morning to come out and see us and listen to Tom Jurich. Maybe he'll address the Texas issue. I would suspect that there is always a time for questions, so I'll ask that one if no one else does. So what else did last weekend? We packed another event into last weekend, and you know, the orchestra had a fundraiser out at Norton Commons, and I had no idea there was this great amphitheater, and if you get my newsletter, you'll see a picture of the orchestra performing on this amphitheater stage. It's just a wonderful, beautiful place. They had some like wine and whiskey tastings and all that. It's a beautiful afternoon out there in Norton Commons, a place that would be pretty cool to live in. I don't know. I think they're having a Homerama out there again. like they did a few years ago. But Norton Commons is it's a heck of a place. They got a lot of land out there, a lot of amenities. Pretty cool place to live. So the orchestra played, and the conductor was Bob Bernhardt. Teddy Abrams, who's been on this show, was not at this event, but you're going to hear more about Teddy Abrams in the near future. Bob Bernhardt was great. He introduced the songs, used a little humor. I heard like the Entertainer from Scott Joplin, and a handful of things I recognized. Phantom of the Opera. They played a mixture of show tunes, movie tunes, and it was really cool. They had a nice crowd. They could have had more people there, though. They really could. I know the orchestra is really, until you see them in person, you don't understand how talented those folks are in that. And there was news out of the orchestra, the Kentucky Opera, I guess. Joey Mekovic, who was on this show not more than a month ago, talking about the new season for the Kentucky Opera. Well, they had some personnel changes, and Joey has got a better position in there. I don't have with me the exact positions, but it was good news for Joey, good news for Louisville, that the orchestra and the Kentucky Opera are in good hands. And I know that performance that he talked about on the show is just starting this week. I saw they had their final dress rehearsal just the other day. So so that's something. If you're a fan of the orchestra and arts in Louisville, you should check that out. All right. There is just a more list of things to do. And now let's talk a little bit about the Jefferson Town Chamber, which helps organize the Gaslight Festival out here in J-Town where I live. I live right down the street from where this big street fest. This is the week, Friday and Saturday, to people from all over town. It's the biggest of these events in terms of attendance. And from basically in the middle of the street at Watterson Trail and Taylorsville Road, there's just a flurry of activity. They have live music. They have everything you want in a festival. And it's a blast. It's a blast every year. This week on Monday, I went out to the Gaslight Festival Golf Scramble, one of a dozen or so events that the festival puts on. Had a great time. We played at the Charlie Vetner Golf Course, and I did not win. No, I did not. But had a great time. I had a great time out there. Played with the guys from River City Distributing in the Scramble, and we did. We just had a great time. And I had to leave a little early. I'm on a bowling team now. Now that I'm not burdened with the responsibility of going to a job every day, I love it. I rejoined my bowling team. Had a great night out at Ten Pin Lanes. So that's going on. And then on Tuesday, I'm going to run out of things to talk about here soon. But the Idea Festival, you know, is a big event that comes to town every year. They have now added, for the second year, they have a film festival to go with that. And it's October 1 through 4. They had a sort of reception up at DECA in Nulu on Tuesday night. And it was a blast. I met Susie Eastman, who you remember on this show, is like the queen of film in this town. And next week on the show, I'm going to have Kylie Parker, who is one of the filmmakers and is very interesting young lady. I talked to her for a little bit at that event. So the Idea Festival, Film Festival, is coming up. So really, I think that's about it in terms of things I've been doing. Certainly, we're all going to the game, the U of L Clemson game tonight. I did want to mention some more news about one of my past guests, Nan Elpers. If you remember, the high school student from St. Francis High School was on the show last week. She organized the Free the Nipple Walk in the Highlands, and guess what they're doing on Sunday? Yes, a topless picnic in Central Park. It's going to be interesting to see how many of the media show up and how many other folks show up and how many people go there to go topless. I really believe in Nan's cause and everything. Certainly going to get attention at that event in Central Park, 2 o'clock if you want to go. So anyway, another person that I know very well. Interesting news out of Business First. You know, I was a reporter there from 96 to 99. It's the best reporter they've ever had, I always tell them. Just kidding. But my editor there was a woman named Carol Timmons, and she's been there a long. She had been there a while before I got there, and she's been there ever since. And I left in 99. There was a story in Business First about her leaving the paper as she's the top editor there, and she's just going to stay on until October 1st. It's a pretty surprising announcement. She didn't announce anywhere that she's going, but is leaving the paper. So should be some interesting changes going on at Business First. A lot of A lot of people I know have been through that Business First, the big Business First alumni group. But anyway, so good luck to Carol. I hope hope she lands on her feet, does well. I'm sure she'll find something interesting to do. So, you know, I've about run out of time here, but I do want to mention the governor, the debate between Jack Conway and Matt Bevin was just held this week. And, you know, I know a lot of you probably haven't gotten interested in the governor's race. You know, politics is... It's not anything to get excited about. Neither of these candidates are inspiring, to say the least. Jack Conway, the Democrat, and Matt Bevin, the Republican. Now, I've seen Matt Bevin in person, spoke about a month or two ago at a GLI event. He's got a big presence, I'll tell you that. I disagree with him on about every issue, everything that he says, but he has, you know, it's like, I hate what he says, but I like the way he says it. And at this debate, I didn't watch the debate, I read about it. Unfortunately, the big topic is still the Kim Davis thing, and this is what disappoints me in Jack Conway, I guess, because he made the right decision. He made the right decision not to defend Kentucky's same-sex marriage law. He knew he knew where it was going. He knew that eventually the law of the land would be inclusive, and the Supreme Court would rule that gay people can marry in the United States. And that's the way it should be. So this Kim Davis character, this clerk in Moorhead, is getting all this national news, national attention. And Bevin is like on her side, and he's criticizing Conway for the decision he made. I wish Conway would stand up and said, I made the right decision. You know, I potentially saved the taxpayers a lot of money by not fighting that battle in court, and I was right. You know, there's nothing, but the rhetoric of the campaign is that Bevin attacks Conway for his position as if he did the wrong thing, and I just have a hard time with that. I hate that whole topic because. Again, as I think I've mentioned on this show, the people that are behind Kim Davis, it is that they support discrimination against a class of people, and you know that's just not right. See, Riley and Max, they don't like that either. So anyway, I'm going to get on to the rest of the show, and Hannah Wimmett. She is a very impressive young lady who works for Stage One and went to college down in South Carolina. She's a Louisville native, loves her job, loves what she does. And I tell you, I've got to get down to one of these Stage One performances after talking with her. It sounds very impressive, talking about a big giant. You ought to come out to this event next week. You'll hear about it in the interview with Hannah. And let's go on and get right to that interview. Right after this message, you'll hear from Hannah Wimmett.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises, and without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
And welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm here at the Gordon Biersch Brewery downtown. My first time here with Hannah Wimmett. Hannah, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I'm glad to have you. Now, tell our audience, why are you on the show?
I am here to talk about a couple of things.
Okay.
I am here with Stage One Family Theater, and we are sitting at Gordon Biersch because we are here to talk about our Pints for Half Pints event next Wednesday, the 23rd of September, from 6 to 9 p.m.
Okay.
It's a fundraiser. Gordon Biersch has been doing this for several years now, part of their Pints series, and Stage One is their charity of choice for this September event. 100% of the proceeds of their beer sales that night from 6 to 9 go back to Stage One and help us underwrite arts programming for school children.
Okay, now let's get to the meat of that. You know, I love the whole idea of beers and charity, and there's a giant coming here to this event next week, right?
There is a giant. Okay. Our first show of the season is a classic Roald Dahl production, The Big Friendly Giant, the BFG. And we have a 7.5-foot-tall giant who likes to drink beer and has asked to come
to
the event.
Wow, does he play basketball or anything?
Well, you know, Calipari called him, but he's all booked up.
Probably not very mobile.
I would
think. So, so Stage One is an important part of our community, and, you know, I think some people, like me, may think that they just do performances for school kids during school. That's what field trips are for, right?
That's right. We do have a huge student matinee portion, but that's not all of it. It's not what we do.
Okay, and we general public people like me can go to see Stage One Productions. Where and when?
So we usually perform on Saturdays. Seems to be a great time for families. We perform at the Center for the Arts downtown in the Baumhard Theater. It was actually built for Stage One when it was built in the 80s.
Friday for Paul Thorne? No, I was not there.
Man. No, I heard it was a great show, though. And that is the theater where we perform. But it is true stadium seating. It was built for children, so if you ever notice, you don't see the person in front of you's head.
Yeah,
that was
steep.
Intentional. Yeah, it was intentional. So
I was on the front row. So you didn't have to worry about anything.
Paul could spit on you. That's where we perform at the Baumhard on Saturdays for families. And what's great about Stage One is it's a really laid-back environment. You know, most of our performances are an hour to an hour and 10 minutes. We always do a meet and greet, which is a great thing for the kids and families to take pictures and do autographs. And this year we have a family pass, which is like a membership. Think about a zoo membership or a science center membership. It is unlimited use. So you get a pass for $125, and you can come visit us every single day. We have something going on.
Oh, really? You can go see the same show over and over again?
You know, kids like repetition. How many times have you seen?
We do watch reruns.
A movie
I don't know
over
people
and over.
Say that, you know, about things. Like, why are you going to go see Paul Thorne again? Well, you know, it's a rerun. It's still good.
It's still entertaining
to watch. All right, so you were telling me some of the performances this year. You've already got them scheduled out for the year.
Oh, yeah. We open with the Big Friendly Giant in October. Take a little bit of time off. In November, we're actually doing a Broadway musical, which is not part of our repertoire usually, but we're doing A Year with Frog and Toad, which is based off of the children's books. However, it is a very smart and clever musical. It won, was nominated for 3 Tony Awards and did go on to Broadway for a few years. Then in the winter, we are going to be doing And Then They Came for Me, which is a story about the Holocaust from a different perspective. So Anne Frank is featured in the show, but it is not the Diary of Anne Frank.
Okay.
It is a multimedia production. It is very intense and really holds no punches in terms of telling exactly what happened.
It seems like that might be a kind of a difficult story to tell children.
It is.
How they pull that off.
Yeah, we try to recommend that one for about 10 and older.
Okay.
It is graphic, and it has some moments that are a little jarring, but it's a story that needs to be told. And actually, we're really excited to partner with the Kentucky Center on that project. Not for the public side, but for the student side, we're going to be doing some classroom work with 8 middle schools here in town, teaching them about the Holocaust. So they'll be kind of exploring what happened historically around the show itself.
Okay.
And then we're also going to be teaching teachers how to teach the Holocaust using something called Performance Cycle. So it's really exciting for us to be partnering with the Kentucky Center on that show.
Okay.
And then our final show completely switches gears. It's actually a world premiere. It's based off of Crockett Johnson's book, Harold and the Purple Crayon, which is for little people. That's for the 5-6-year-olds. Harold doesn't talk. There are no words in that book other than the narration. He has his crown. He can't sleep. He draws an adventure. He goes to bed. It takes about 2 minutes to read. So how do you turn that into an hour production?
Yeah.
Well, we actually got really creative, and this is the first time technology is being used in a production of any kind for adults or students or children, what have you. We are working with an animator and using a lot of green screen technology. So there is one person who plays Harold, there is a narrator, and then there's a musician. And we have commissioned Ben Soli, who is a nationally known cellist.
Former Rusty Satellite Show guest.
There you go. So Ben came on as a partner, and he is actually composing the score for the show. And he got so excited about it, he said, I want to play the show.
Wow.
So Ben's actually going to be playing every performance, every student matinee, every public show.
Wow.
So you get Ben Soli on the stage as well.
That would be a big deal. So that's like next spring, right?
That's coming up in the spring.
Wow.
And what's cool about it is, like I said, green screen technology. Every person that walks in the theater will be handed a tablet. And they will sit down, and there is an app that will open at the beginning of the show. And throughout the show at various times, the narrator will ask the audience and invite them to help Harold on his journey. And they will be able to draw their own adventure.
Wow.
So while they are drawing, those animations will be popping up on the screen in real time with the show. And at the end of the performance, each user will have an opportunity to go home and download their Harold and the Purple Crayon book with their own drawings.
Sounds like what I remember from the movie Big, right? You make your own adventure.
You make your own adventure, so right,
very
yeah.
Very cool, very cool. And now you were telling me that stage one, like actors, the actors are professional actors with equity and all that, but for the most part, right?
Yes. So we are an equity stage. We are union members. We are happy Actors Equity members.
Out.
You can audition.
Okay.
Anybody can audition.
Okay.
We do cast age appropriately. So this season, we usually cast quite a few students in the show in our season. This season, it just worked out that we didn't have student roles. So this season, all of our actors are adults. But it is a combination of local, non-union actors and card member actors.
Okay.
So it's a great mix. And it's really nice to kind of have the playing field leveled. Everybody's an equal when they walk in the door. It makes for a great process.
Well, great. Well, Heather, I'm curious about you. Where do you get a job like you've got? It's like you obviously enjoy it very much.
I do. Believe it or not, I got my interest in theater from Stage One. The first play I ever saw was The Snow Queen in the mid-80s at Stage One. And it's hard to quantify, what theater does to you, but it definitely sticks somewhere and carries you through life and makes, decisions.
And you grew up here?
I grew up here.
We always ask, what school did you go to?
Oh, yeah. I was St. Matthew's Elementary, Westport Middle School, Ballard High School, and then off to college. And when I came back to Louisville, I knew I wanted to be in the arts. My degree is actually in technical theater, but arts administration kind of called my name, and I've been there ever since.
And you went all the way down to Charleston, South Carolina for school, right?
For the beach, really.
Charleston's
on the ocean, let's be honest.
You can party anywhere, right? But the beach.
5 minutes from the beach, you can't beat that. Small liberal arts college. But I came back here because my roots are here, my family's here. And Louisville, I'm telling you, the art scene nationally, Louisville's on par. It's such a great town for the arts and for culture and what's going on here. And Stage One is a huge part of that mission, teaching those kids, elevating them.
Well, there is a lot to do here. I mean, you as a person who works in the so-called arts industry, what do you like to do for fun when you're not working?
I like to go to theater. I enjoy that. I like to go out and experience, I feel like this is a food town. We like our food. We love our entertainment. We love our bands. We are great for festivals and outdoors. I love hiking in the parklands with my kids and my husband. You just soak it all in. Louisville now is not Louisville 10 years ago. And so people that are moving here for the first time have a really exciting city and right in front of them.
Yeah. So you left town and came back, right?
Yes.
So how long were you gone and how different was it when you came back?
Well, I only left for college. And a little bit of time after, like I said, the beach. So you got to stick around a little while. So I was gone almost 5 years. And when I came back, I was floored at just the local business. I think that was really, the shop local and the boom of everything happening here. Mm-hmm. It was amazing because that didn't exist when I was here previously.
Okay.
And so I just love to see that. I love to see the community rallying behind each other and really feel like we support our own and take care of our own. Mm-hmm. I think it's great what we've got going on here and really exciting.
So you said you've got kids.
Yes, two kids.
They must be theater fans.
They are. Well, I have a 4-year-old.
They get in free to the show?
Well, because I work there. I know people. I run the ticketing department. I have a 4-year-old. We started taking her when she was 2, and she is just in love with the magic of theater. I also have a 1-year-old. He's not quite ready for it yet, but I think he will be. She has attended her first camp with Stage One. We do summer camps starting at age 4, so she got to do her first 2 camps this summer, asking when she can go back. And to me, that's pretty magical, sitting there and watching her and her little mind exploring and just exploding.
Sure.
With realization is pretty incredible.
Well, it's a great message to all the parents out there listening that, you can go to these performances. And my kids, when they were little, they always said, field trip to the theater, they didn't quite, get into it except for one. And now he's off in the profession, so it's a really good thing.
I don't think at the time what theater is going to teach you. I think it's very hard to measure the effect of the arts on a person, but it is there. You can see it every day in the choices that you make, how you speak to people and communicate, how you empathize with what's going on in the world. I mean, you learn that by watching what's happening on stage. And I see it every day in the audience. I watch these children have aha moments. And you know, they may not remember it in a year or two, but somewhere deep down, it sticks because you'll see it later in life.
Yeah, as a parent, you hear about it 10 years later.
Yeah.
Right. Which is really great. Oh, yeah, we did do that, didn't we? Okay. Well, Hannah, it's been a pleasure to talk to you, and we're going to wrap up the rest of the Satellite Show here. Tell me one more time about this event down here at Gordon Beer.
23rd, 6 to 9. It's a Wednesday. Come down. Please bring your family. It's going to be a great event. You can get your picture made with Bone Cruncher, the giant from the BFG, and enjoy a couple pints and support a great cause for Stage 1.
All right, and thank you for listening to the Rusty Satellite Show, the home of the most interesting people in the Ville. I thought up a new feature for the show. Now that we've got enough people who have been on, here are the Rusty Satellite Show guests having birthdays this week. How about that? My pal Mark Hebert, we do this every year. He's the only guy that still sends me a birthday card. I sent him one. He's older than me now. He just turned 56. Can you believe it? 56 years old, Mark Hebert. Kristen Walls of WHAS-TV, who does weather, is 32. It says right here on Facebook. She was on the show, of course. And would also like to mention that Dawn Marie Yankee Love, who helps me a lot with technology. She's a former Business First reporter. Says right here, 53, if you can believe it. And Wayne Estopinall is turning a big one, 60. He's the organizer of he's the architect who runs the show over there with the Louisville City FC soccer team. And lastly, I'm going to mention Mo McKnight Howe, who I saw this week, bought some wedding gifts for Josh for. Those are the birthdays of this week on the Rusty Satellite Show. And I want to conclude the show by thanking my sponsors, Passport Health Plan and Snelling Staffing. They always really do good. They help support this show, and I really appreciate them being around and on the show. So a lot going on this week. I tell you, there's something I'm going to do. I'm going to post on LouisvilleKY.com. If you haven't looked at LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city lately, you ought to take a look. There is a dinner you can read about on there and in Shelbyville at Science Hill Inn, and it is on Sunday, and it's an old-fashioned Sunday supper. Very special event. I think they still have a few seats available, $60 per person, but it's going to be an outstanding event. Some great chefs, some great entertainment, all that stuff's going on. Of course, this weekend, after the football game on Thursday night, there's going to be, the Gaslight Festival all weekend in Jeffersontown. I'll be volunteering out there at the Street Fest on Saturday night, so come to the information booth, say hello, and tell me that you're a big fan of the Rusty Satellite Show. All right, that's going to do it for this week. I'm looking forward to being back with another great show next week. I've already got my guests lined up, I think. Going to have Kylie Parker from the Idea Festival Film Festival, and I'm hoping to get Caleb Payne, and I'll tell you all about him next week, but he is the man who is a cancer survivor and walked the Appalachian Trail and just finished it, a five-month journey. So that's going to be really interesting. So until then, this is Rick Redding for the Rusty Satellite Show. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.